Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. So I just want to take a moment to congratulate my colleague, Tony Connolly. You hear him here on WILS every morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Today, he is celebrating his two-year anniversary of the Tony Connolly Morning Show. You can, in fact, join him. The party is happening right now at Reno's East in East Lansing. So congratulations to you, Tony. Now, let's look at Detroit, where it sounds like there won't be very much consenting when it comes to this consent agreement proposed by Governor Snyder. Detroit Mayor Dave Bing today calling it unconstitutional and saying it undermines his administration and the city. So where does that leave us? To discuss it, I'm joined by Van Conway, the CEO of Conway McKenzie, a Birmingham-based restructuring and advisory firm. He knows all about how to face down a financial crisis in the business world. Van, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Good evening, Michael.
So Mayor David Bing, he came out today and said that, quote, "The governor does not run me or the people of Detroit." So, Van, what do you think of the response of city officials to this consent agreement, which the governor says is the only option to avoid an EFM appointment?
Well, unfortunately, in a technical sense, the mayor doesn't report to the governor, who's elected by the people of Detroit. However, in this situation, the city, no different than a business, and quite honestly, no different than General Motors when they got money from the federal government, that the city is in need of money. And typically the parties who provide money to distressed entities, companies, municipalities will have certain requirements. And what the state is saying is that for access to money and our assistance, effectively because you couldn't get it done yourself, not laying blame, but you just couldn't get it done, that with the money comes conditions of management, decision-making, et cetera. And I think that's where the problem is, that the city does not want to relinquish any control over management decisions when the state is saying, for us to get involved and help you, we're going to be involved in decisions running the city.
Yeah, but are Detroit city leaders being reasonable? I mean, ultimately, isn't an EFM going to be appointed if they don't begin to cooperate?
Under law, that's the way it's going to work. They're in need of money, and you have the negotiations when one party is in need of something that the other party can provide typically are not equal. And the party with the money in this case and the assistance being the state has more power over the negotiations. Is that fair? Well, that's kind of the way it works, and the city is in need of money. And without the money, I think you're going to see a very deep crisis. So ultimately, I think the city should negotiate the best consent agreement they can get, but they're going to have to ultimately execute some type of agreement that's going to give shared control to the state.
So you have a lot of experience in helping turn around companies that are facing their own financial crisis. When you look at what the city of Detroit needs to do now, EFM or not, what is the first and primary budgetary issue that you think needs to be confronted?
Well, the number one issue is the cash crisis. I mean, they're going to run out of money. I don't think that's in dispute, and probably the amount isn't too far in dispute in terms of the range of money that they're going to need because they're going to run out. They need to address that problem immediately, and that's what you do with any company, is that if you're going to have inability to make your payroll and things of that nature, you really have to solve that problem in the short run. And the longer run then gets down to cost-cutting, consolidation, all the things that you would typically do with any enterprise.
We've heard about this massive structural debt that the city of Detroit has and that the financial changes that need to be made will be profound. What is your view on what the next several years will be like for the city of Detroit financially?
Well, the city, of course, is a lot smaller than it used to be, and it has a cost structure for a far greater population. So the city's going to have to reduce its expenses, which is going to involve a number of employees. I think they're going to have to look at the debt of the city. They're going to have to, renegotiate the debt. They're going to have to renegotiate the pensions. Effectively, the entire cost structure of the city has to be reduced for the declining population that the city has. So certain services may not be available, but the core services have to be available, and the city has to be able to provide those for the residents. And so anything beyond that, including any assets that can be disposed of, that are not part of the core services. I think you're going to be looking at that and department consolidations and things of that nature.
You know, from the outside, people can't help but wonder, why is it getting to this point? Why aren't the leaders in Detroit handling their business without having to get the state involved?
Well, you know, that probably was something that could have been addressed years ago. The city has been in decline for a very, very long time, and there's been efforts to reduce expenses, but the top line of the city continues to decline, and basically they've run out of money. And so now we have a situation that the city's never encountered before, which is they're going to run out of money. Well, thus, the state has to be involved because they effectively have the checkbook. And, you know, you can look back and say, why wasn't this done before in terms of the cost cuts? Quite honestly, I think Mayor Bing inherited an impossible situation that, regardless of his actions, was going to need money, and with the money becomes the state, and the state and all the rights and control that they want over the city. So, yes, it could have been done earlier, years ago, but for whatever reason, hasn't been done, and now, of course, it's a very drastic situation.
Now, with your experience in turning around and restructuring companies, is it fairly common then to see these crises occur and decisions only being made at the very last moment like this?
That's, believe it or not, that's quite common, unfortunately. Probably fortunate for my business, but unfortunately for a lot of companies. You could actually look at General Motors as a good example. That they reduced the number of brands, they reduced the number of employees, and you could have said, well, why didn't they do it earlier? They just didn't. Companies typically don't execute the drastic cuts that they should. They tend to be overly optimistic. They think things will get better, and then ultimately, you know, a crisis occurs. So it's not uncommon for companies to delay the decision. You can even look in our state here, Kmart, when all the growth of Walmart happened, you'd say, why didn't they notice that? Why didn't they cut back and redesign their stores? It's not uncommon that companies delay the decision, and then when they run out of money, it just becomes a whole different ballgame.
And when it comes to really looking and addressing at the financial issues that Detroit has, do you think that the consent agreements approach of this 9-member team is more effective than having a single EFM with full control?
Well, I would say a single emergency manager would be better because it would just be more efficient than having 9 people. But, you know, that's a political hot potato, that term being an emergency manager. And so in a lot of respects, this agreement is basically accomplishing some or much of what an emergency manager would have through the 9-member board. But when you get to 9 people, of course, you're talking about a higher level of inefficiency, in my view, than, say, 1 person executing the restructure plan. But given the hostile reaction to the emergency manager concept, it seemed like the state had to go in this direction with this new consent agreement.
One last thing, about 30 seconds left. Is there any option outside of this consent agreement or an EFM in your mind that could potentially work?
No, I think only thing that happened is the city should negotiate the best they can in the agreement. They're going to have to execute the agreement because they need the money. Without the money, you're going to have a huge crisis in the city. So I think the city should go hard to negotiate, but ultimately they're going to have to execute this agreement because with the agreement is going to come the necessary funding to avoid a crisis.
I'm talking to, this is Van Conway. He's the CEO of Conway McKenzie, a Birmingham-based restructuring and advisory firm. Van, thank you very much for talking to us this evening.
Thanks, Michael.